live from Buffalo Creek. Okay, the last few weeks we've looked at church authority, pastoral authority, and tonight we're going to take a question that was given to talk about authority in baptism. Now I know we've used Matthew 28. We've referred to it every week, and it's really a touchstone passage for the threefold commission of the church to teach all nations, preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize the converts. The church is responsible as a body to baptize the converts in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe all things, preach all the counsel of God. This is really the essence of the work of the church. Jesus gave that authority to do that work to the kind of church that He started during His earthly ministry. Now, if you've listened to me very long through the years, and many of you have, you know that I believe that when Jesus Christ started the first church, it was what we would today identify as a Baptist church. I say that without any reservation. They baptized believers. They didn't baptize babies. The only other church that claimed that came after the Baptists. They came after, the Roman Catholic Church. They say that they're the ones that Jesus started. I guarantee you the Lord has never, ever ordained an unholy Pope of Rome. He's never approved of that. Or baby baptism. Nowhere in the Bible are those things ever taught or even hinted at. They're heresies. The Catholic Church believes in salvation by works. Jesus and His church believed in salvation by grace through faith. The Catholic Church believes that water regenerates a baby. And we believe that the Holy Spirit regenerates and gives a new birth and gives repentance and faith. These are Baptist doctrines. The Roman Catholic Church, they believe that the Pope is the authority. We believe Christ is the authority. We believe not that the Word of God is our authority as a church. So there's a massive gulf that exists between Romanism and Baptists, the kind of church that Jesus organized during His earthly ministry. That's who He gave the Great Commission to. Now, I know I got to make this disclaimer every time, but it's because of foolish people who take things out of context. Baptists, real Baptists, have never believed that they're the only ones going to heaven, that they're the only ones saved. We don't believe, never have, never will, that salvation is in a denomination. Salvation's in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. So we don't believe that you're saved by being part of a specific denomination. But the Catholics do. A lot of Protestants do, whether they want to admit it or not. It's why they baptize babies. what other reason would they do that? Except they're trying to regenerate them into their church membership. Thief on the cross never was a member of any church, never was able to be baptized. He was with the Lord in paradise forever. Not discounting that he wasn't in a church, but that's the fact. So, Jesus organized the first church, gave the Great Commission to that church, and to all succeeding churches in that line. And I believe, authority in Christ given to the church, And that's the responsibility that we have to carry out the Great Commission. Now here's an interesting question. That is a hypothetical question. When someone is newly saved and wants to join a church that is without a pastor, do they have to wait until the pastor is called to join and be baptized? All right? Now, you may not like my answer. It's okay. I'm going to tell you what I think the Bible teaches. Okay? Now, first of all, as far as I can tell, there is no specific example in the New Testament to address the hypothetical question that's been raised. We don't have an example in Scripture. However, I do know that a New Testament Baptist church does not lose its authority to administer the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper if they are temporarily without a pastor. You understand what I'm saying? They can still function as a church. They will be hampered. It's hard for a church to go without a pastor. Now, churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, not pastors, have the authority to administer the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. That needs to be repeated. The authority to baptize and observe the Lord's Supper is in the church. It's that authority does not rest in a man. Men just can't go out and start baptizing people helter-skelter, hither and yon, whoever they want. That's not God's way. It's done by the authority of a local church. And I worry about any preacher that tries to do anything apart from the authority of a New Testament church. Because you just don't see freelancers in the Bible. They're always connected to churches in the New Testament. Now, this is where I may throw you a little bit. However, the regular order and example set forth in the New Testament is for an ordained man, usually a pastor, primarily a pastor, or sometimes a deacon, as in the case of Philip when he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. That's the regular order that we find in the New Testament. In fact, as I thought about this, and the examples of people that were baptized, so throw you for another loop. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, who was, as far as I know, he wasn't baptized, and nor was he ordained. But God, he was a man sent from God to prepare the materials for the Lord's church that Jesus organized. And Jesus recognized him as God's authority. So, he is the only exception. But God called him directly, specifically, for one unique work that's never been repeated or ever will be repeated. So, let's just put that to rest. I just thought that was unique. But you look at all other places in the New Testament, the people that are administering the ordinance as far as performing it are ordained men. Okay? Having an ordained man administer the ordinance is the best way, obviously, because of the examples provided in Scripture. And it's been the normal practice of Baptist churches throughout their storied history. So what is a church to do if they don't have a pastor to baptize new converts? All right? Let's say I have a heart attack tomorrow. Dead as a doornail. my funeral will be next week. Put me in a box, bury me in the ground, my body, I'll be with the Lord. Don't worry about me. Pray for my family. But people say, well, what are you going to, what's going to happen? It's totally out of the realm of my ability. God will take care of my family. But with that aside, if I die and somebody's saved 2 weeks down the line and they want to be baptized, what do you do? Well, I'm going to tell you what you should do. You got an ordained deacon and you got an ordained elder in Brother Malo. So your deacon is Joe Pemberton. The elder is Al Malo. Both of them, have one of them. Authorize one of them to do the baptizing. All right? So that's my first answer. Hopefully, the church that is without a pastor has one or more ordained deacons or maybe another elder who they can appoint to perform the task. So what if the church has no deacons, has no ordained elders? What can they do in that case? Again, this may throw you for a loop, but you as a church could call on a pastor of a sister church. You could authorize. You could say, we don't have a pastor, we don't have a deacon to do the baptizing, and we feel like the Scripture says that it ought to be done by an ordained man. Let's call one of our sister churches and we'll authorize them to do the baptizing. A man of like faith and order. So you could do that. You could authorize a pastor of a sister church to perform the ordinance. Now here's another thing you could do. You could wait till you've called a pastor to administer the ordinance. Baptism doesn't save anybody. So you could wait, conceivably. Now, I give you all these suggestions, hoping that it will never happen to you. But that's what I would do. That's what I'd recommend a church would do. Okay? Now, those are all suggestions that are within the parameters of Scripture. But I didn't answer the question yet, did I? Completely. So the question remains as to whether a church can authorize any man within the congregation who was not ordained to the gospel ministry or to the deaconship to perform the ordinance of baptism. Now I'm going to give you an opinion. Because again, there's no example of it in the Bible. I think it was Elder Milburn Cockrell, one of my dearest and best friends for years and years. A mentor in the ministry. The Lord took him home in 2002. But I think it was him who said that a church without a pastor or deacons is within its rights and its authority to appoint an unordained man in the membership to baptize new converts. However, it would be irregular because it's not something that you don't have an example in the Bible. And I agree with that assessment based on the fact that the authority to baptize is vested solely in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and not in ordained preachers who are the appointed administrators of the ordinance by the church. Now, again, with all that said, I would still recommend that the church either call a pastor who is scripturally ordained to the gospel ministry or vote to authorize an ordained pastor from a sister church to administer the baptism of a new convert if you don't have a pastor. Now, I know some may say, well, that's just too narrow. That's too strict. And my answer is pretty simple. The New Testament clearly shows that baptisms recorded in Scripture were administrated I ordain elders, pastors, or deacons. That's the Bible. Well, I thought, I'm not going to leave it there. I'm going to Google this thing. Now, can you imagine John Gill, if he were listening to this sermon, and I said I decided I was going to Google it? Yeah, how foreign is that language? All right? You can Google anything. And it, you know what I think is with this AI? That's good. Whoever programs AI, is they're putting in that intelligence, and some of it ain't real intelligent. I think they're going to really be able to mess with people. That's why I keep telling you, don't throw your books away. Don't throw your Bibles away. Don't go all digital and all appy. You better keep some things that you can hold in your hands. Because they'll be, listen, when this thing starts rolling, they'll be able to completely rewrite history. Right now. I mean, they're trying to do away with things. This thing, it's really bothered me. This ain't even in the sermon. All this talk about Christian nationalism and that if you believe you get your rights from God, you're a Christian nationalist. Well, I do get my rights from God. It's in our Declaration of Independence. Like I said before, we don't have enough Christians in the United States to have a theocracy. But there's one coming. I will tell you that, you filthy atheists and agnostics and perverts. There is a true theocracy coming. Jesus is going to rule and reign on this earth. And He's going to judge the wicked and purge the wicked from this old world. Yes, there's coming a day, and I'm glad I'm going to be part of it. But men aren't going to bring that about. That's going to take the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This got under my skin. Because I hate it when politicians and the media, they're setting us up. They're trying to set up people to hate genuine Christianity and what it stands for. It's the same things that Stalin did, same things that Mao did. It's what totalitarians do. They got to rid their country of true believers. I'll tell you what, you better be ready. Keep your Bibles. Anyway, let's get back to the Googling. I Googled the question to see how others may have answered it. And I loved that Brother Duvall, James Duvall, he's developed the Baptist History homepage. It's one of the first things that came up, and I said, hallelujah. And I started reading all the things there. Now, this is interesting. The Philadelphia Baptist Association in the 1700s had a lot to say about unbaptized and unordained men from other churches administering baptism. Not Baptists, but those who were not Baptists administering the ordinance. They uniformly rejected the practice and considered the baptism null and void, meaning they would not receive or accept any kind of alien immersion that was not done by the authority of a Baptist church or by a Baptist preacher. All right, they considered that null and void. Historically, sound Baptists have not recognized the ordinances or the ordinations of Protestant denominations as scripturally valid. And I don't either. I mean, I'm not saying they're not saved. But I am saying there's a right way to do things, and it's to be done by the Lord's church. So I'm in full agreement with the old Baptists on that subject. However, the query under discussion, you like that, how I use that word? That's an old word. It's the same as question, but I like to kind of throw things back a little bit. The query under discussion as to whether a scriptural church can administer baptism without having an ordained pastor, that was never addressed. And my little brain started thinking. What do they call those electrodes and things start sparking? It came to me, since that question was never raised, it must not have been a common practice. It must not have been something that occurred very often because it was never even addressed. How about that? Well, then I started reading the views of modern-day Protestants and Baptists in name only. Binos. You know, they call rhinos, Republicans in name only. I was the one that coined binos, by the way. I should have some kind of trademark on that, some kind of royalty kickback, because I said that a long time ago. All right? But here, as I read this, I was amused to find that nearly all of them will recognize any so-called baptism administered by anyone as valid and acceptable. Which led me to think again. I remember talking to a prominent Reformed Baptist pastor and evangelist back in the late 1980s. This guy, in fact, I don't know which one he was one of the Riesinger brothers. And they were well known in Reformed Baptist circles. And he knew my views on the church and the ordinances because we'd already talked about it. He thought I was an idiot. He told me I was all wrong. He went on to say that he would even lead the church he pastored as a Reformed Baptist to accept those who were sprinkled as members as long as their heart was in the right place and they had a credible profession of faith. Now, do you get that? This is how you get into anything goes. Here's a Baptist Reformed pastor saying, I'd even take sprinkling if they're saved. All right? Well, I was a young pastor with little experience in the ministry. In fact, I'd probably only been saved 8 years at that time. But with all the humility I could muster, I looked him right in the eye and told him that was heresy. It ought not to be practiced by anyone who calls himself Baptist. He laughed at me. But I still believe it. We live in a day when nearly everything under the sun is deemed acceptable, except for views that are deemed more conservative and narrow. In matters of faith and practice, I strive to take the side of walking in the old paths, rather than casting my lot with those who refuse to walk in them. Even though the straight and narrow way is often more difficult and sometimes misunderstood by friends, family, and religious folks, it's still the best way. Jeremiah 7:15-17, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. I'm going to walk in the old paths. Even if it means the whole religious world is against me and against our church. Now, that's going to do it for a little bit. I got another couple questions on authority, but I want to do something different next week. I think I'm going to do something on prophecy. The question that was asked about prophecy. So just change things up a little bit.